What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transform. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and it is my privilege to be your host. We are talking about passive husbands. And in this two-part series, I've been working through what does passivity look like for a husband and what are the effects. Today, I hope to address passivity and in regard to if you or you know someone that is addressing their husband who is struggling with passivity, what are just some practical things to consider? So today is addressing passivity, but just by way of recollection, remember I said that passivity is when a husband knows what to do and does not do it, or when he doesn't know what to do and doesn't do it. Let me try to explain that. Passivity is not a husband who is a processor. He likes to think things through and plan. Passivity is not a guy who is quieter or has the serving gifts, more of a behind the scenes type of guy. That's not passivity. Passivity is when the husband is failing to take the initiative that God has ordained for him to take. So that's knows what to do, doesn't do it. And maybe he's not totally aware of everything that he should be doing. So that's why I would say doesn't know what to do and doesn't do it. But either way, you still have a man who is not taking the initiative in his family. You know, if you consider some of the long-term consequences of this on a wife, I would remind you that passivity exasperates a wife just as much as anger does. And you may think like, whoa, Dr. Gifford, that's kind of extreme. And I'm not just trying to be extreme for extreme sake. I'm saying that based off of what I've seen in counseling, that a man who is just very passive and along for the ride exasperates his wife. And she's frustrated. She wants help. She wants to be able to look to somebody. She wants somebody to make the decision. She wants somebody to feel a level of initiative to go and earn more money for the family and help solve problems for the family. And she doesn't have that support. So passivity is just as exasperating as is anger. So see it that dangerous. Remember in Genesis, part of Adam's initial sin is that he listened to the voice of his wife, Genesis 3. Well, that's not that he should ignore her. No, that's not what the Lord is saying through the writings of Moses, but rather that he was not being the godly leader he was called to be. So here are some tolls that passivity takes. A wife gets frustrated with him. She herself is tempted to now step into his position and to be controlling. It stinks because when you see a very controlling wife, oftentimes that is the result of her lacking clarity in her role and feeling a compulsion to step in and to do his job. I felt bad for this guy. I was traveling recently and in the airport, a husband had dropped his airline ticket under those little conveyor belts, you know, at the TSA checkpoints. And he's going back to get his ticket, you know, one of those printed tickets. And his wife is just yelling at him, saying, don't go. No, do not do that. Leave it there. Turn around. Come back. In front of 15 people, 10 people. And I was just thinking, man, lady, like give the guy a break. He's going to get his ticket. I can see that at times when a lady struggles with being a controlling wife, it's because her husband has made it hard for her to know where she is supposed to let him lead or where she's supposed to put herself under his authority. So frustration and controlling wives can come when a husband starts to be overly passive. Think of the next temptation for the wife, that she becomes the leader. She may not want to be the leader, but then she starts to fulfill that role. So mom is the boss functionally of the house. What are we doing? She's planning vacations. She's doing the checkbook. She's doing the disciplining. She's doing the cooking. She's doing the management of the home. And dad functionally just goes to work and helps provide a level of income for the home. She is really, and without meaning this in a derogatory way, she is really the boss of the house. She's really the leader. These things lead to discouragement. She is discouraged by her husband's passivity, and that results in a temptation to complain against him. There are times where I will hear ladies, both in counseling and just regular church life, desire to have a godly, initiative-taking husband, and they're frustrated about the fact that he doesn't do that. And so they're tempted to grumble and complain against him. You know, these consequences are quite severe. And if you're a husband listening to this, you should take note that these consequences are destructive for your marriage. We want to avoid these consequences because we want to glorify the Lord. So husbands, you have a hand, or let me say it another way, you contribute to your wife's clarity in her role. And if you and I are failing to step up and to be those godly, proactive leaders, then we should not be surprised that our wife is struggling to know what she should do, what she should not do. A passive husband is willing to let his wife fulfill his role. And it stinks to say that, but let me give you some of the aspects of leadership that a husband is called to exude. First of all, spiritual leadership. That's Ephesians 5, 25 through 28. This idea of Christ loving the church, a husband to love his wife, and that his love should promote her holiness, to wash her in the water of the word, to purify and sanctify her. Wayne Mack said that a husband's love should be a sanctifying love. We're promoting holiness in our wife. That's spiritual leadership. That's going to come out in things like family devotions. That's going to come out in things like helping the family go to church, getting the kids ready. That's going to come out in things like praying together, whether it's at a meal or pausing in the evening time and praying together. That's spiritual leadership. Financial leadership. The husband in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, is called to ensure he's providing for his own household. It doesn't mean that you have to be a millionaire husbands, but it does mean that if there's no bread on the table, that we feel the compulsion to go out and to earn more. And if there's a financial shortfall, then you and I, as husbands, need to feel a compulsion to go out and to earn additional income for our families. That's financial leadership. Parental leadership, Ephesians 6, 4. Ephesians 6, 4 is written directly to husbands. And guys, you got to hear this, that yes, moms are to be part of the parenting as well. But who is leading in that effort? Dads are. Fathers, they're taking the initiative with the kids. So when dad hears his 15-year-old disrespecting his wife, dad is going to say, no way, this is my responsibility to intercede and to stand up and to help mom in this circumstance. Parental leadership. Romantic leadership. You're like, ooh, oh. What do I mean by romantic? I mean initiating love, initiating date nights, initiating time together and time away together. It is my belief that Ephesians 5:25 says the husband is to love the wife. And because that is true, he is the one that should take the initiative to ensure that they have a level of romance in their relationship. I am very open to a wife planning date nights and planning weekends away and so forth, but if they're not happening, the husband needs to feel the compulsion to cultivate romance. He's called to exercise communication leadership. Ephesians 4, 15 and 25 talk about speaking the truth in love, putting off falsehood and so forth. If a couple is not communicating, the husband should feel the compulsion to say, hey, babe, we really need to work through this. It's not okay for us to just continue to go about our lives as if we're roommates. We need to talk. When can we do that? He exercises initiative to cultivate communication. It doesn't mean that he's crazy. It doesn't mean you have to talk at this exact moment. It doesn't mean that 11:39 p.m., as you're dozing off, that now is the time to talk. But it does mean that he takes the initiative to say, hey, babe, what's really going on? You seem quiet or you seem withdrawn. That's communication leadership. Lastly, he's called to exercise management of his household. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 10, and 1 Timothy 3, I would say, are about an elder. And an elder is only qualified to be an elder when he manages his own household well. Think of our spiritual leaders as guys who are proactive managers of their home, not domineering, not controlling, but proactive managers. So if a husband is going to take initiative and fulfill his responsibilities, he's not okay with sleeping in, his wife getting the kids ready, him waking up last second, and them going to church. He's not okay with that. He's not okay with sitting at home while his wife provides for the family financially. Not okay with that. He's not okay with sitting in the recliner and listening to mom discipline the kids and just trying to zone out, turn the TV up. That's not good leadership on his part. Why? Because those are his responsibilities. Husbands, as you're hearing this, if you're okay with letting your wife fulfill your responsibilities, then we are getting at passivity. That's what passivity is looking like, and it's going to have a destructive toll in your life. So yes, I may need help, or yes, you may plan date night, or yes, I need you to help me get the kids to the doctor and things like that. But yet the husband sees that he is going to take initiative in spiritual, financial, parental, romantic, communication, and household management stuff. And he's not just going to say, hey, wife, you do it all. I'm going to go watch some football. So when you do that, when you allow your wife to fulfill your responsibilities as a husband, you're being passive and you're not being faithful to do what God's called you to do. You're being passive. I'm okay with saying that. You should feel a level of remorse like, oh no, I messed up on that one. You need to say, no, that's my responsibility to do that. So we got to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to pick up with how do we address the passive husband? So let's take a break and we'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And I hope you've been finding this series on passive husbands as helpful as I have. He's really providing some very, very practical wisdom. I mean, one of the things that he talked about was the communications and wives communicating to their husbands. That is a really key component. And the reason that I want to highlight to you now a resource that we have in the Transform Store, it's called The War of Words by Paul David Tripp. And he says in the book in Genesis 1, there was a simplicity and a beauty to the world of human communications. There was no communication struggle, no war of words. Everything that was spoken reflected the glory of God. There were only true words, kindly and lovingly spoken. This book puts it all into perspective. Paul David Tripp's War of Words, and I highly recommend that you pick it up. You can do that now at the Transform Store at transform.org. And while you're there, I'll ask if you would also go ahead and take a gander at our donate page and start thinking through and praying through what it might look like in your life if you were to become a gospel partner. It takes gospel partners, people just like you, who partner with us and help us create all of the resources that we're able to create. Transformed, Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, all of the resources that we talk about so frequently, they're only produced with the help of our gospel partners. And that's why we need you to join us. If you're already giving to your local church and you have the ability to partner with us as well, we would love for you to prayerfully consider doing so. All of the details, again, can be found at transformed.org. Now, one last thing that I do want to run by you before we get back to Dr. Gifford is biblical counseling itself. There are so many of you that email us on a frequent basis asking questions about how to become a biblical counselor. And so I want to get you started on that path to becoming one because our churches are in desperate, dire need of more biblical counselors. Our website can get you started. Transform.org, we have several resources available to get you on the pathway to becoming a biblical counselor. And one of those is called Counseling, How to Counsel Biblically by Dr. John MacArthur. And this book is a primer to biblical counseling. It helps you get a better understanding of counseling in the context of a local church. Counseling, How to Counsel Biblically by Dr. John MacArthur. And you can pick it up right now at transformed.org. All right, well, that's going to do it for me. We have to get back to the second half of today's episode of Transformed as Dr. Gifford continues to talk about passive husbands. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Thank you, Jimmy, for your resources. I do commend to you transform.org, particularly the store. And if you have thoughts or questions for me about resources, feel free to email me at greg@transform.org. So last segment, I said, A husband is called to exercise these different forms of leadership, and he knows that he's starting to be passive when he is letting his wife fulfill those roles. It doesn't make him domineering. It doesn't mean he's a one-man show, but it does mean that he sees these as his primary responsibility. So let's talk about where to start. When we are married to, ladies, this would be applicable to you. If you're married to someone who is struggling with passivity, where do you start with the passive husband? Some of you are thinking, well, I mean, this is a hard one because he's been passive for some time. And I agree with that. Or this is a hard one because I don't know what to expect or what to let go of. I don't know if I'm being hyper-controlling in this. That's what I want to address now. The first thing that I want to bring up is that a wife must lovingly communicate where and how the husband is being passive. She feels overwhelmed because she's having to discipline the kids, manage the home, take care of the finances, and she has to clearly communicate to her husband that she needs help. Ladies, it's not fair to your husband if you haven't communicated that to him. You have to say something like, babe, I'm overwhelmed with the kids and you haven't been helping when they don't listen to me. They're disobeying, they're dishonoring me, they're not listening, and you're just sitting there and not doing anything to help. So when she communicates that, a husband should have a default response to say, oh, you know what, babe, I'm sorry, you're right, let me help with the kids. That's parental leadership. But it's unfair for her to not have clearly communicated with him and then to be disappointed, grumble in her heart, and perhaps assume his role without ever having communicated with him. If she thinks, well, I shouldn't have to say something to you, you should just know, then I would encourage you to think as a wife, that's not great communication. You have to be willing to, as a wife, pull your husband aside and say, babe, I need your help. And if he is a godly man and he wants to serve you and please the Lord, then his ears should perk up just a little bit. I remember my wife coming to me before we had our third son, and she was very passionate about wanting to have another child. And I was kind of like, I wasn't taking her serious, I guess was the easiest way to say that. And she pulled me aside one evening and she said, you know, Greg, I don't think you're listening to me. You're not listening to me. This is very important to me and it matters to me. And when she said that, I would have been foolish to say, get out of here. Rather, I think we say, you know what? When my wife comes to me and says this is important, or she is perceiving me as not being helpful right now, then I need to do anything that I can to try to step up and to serve her or to have a great explanation for why that's not possible right now. So listening, start by communicating. Start by sharing with him that you think that he is not being helpful in a particular way and you would like his help in a greater way with finances, household, kids, romance, whatever that looks like. The next thing is that some guys just simply are lacking skills and they need to grow in those skills. I think listening is a communication skill. How does he need to be a better listener? How does he need to speak more? He may need some practical equipping to do this. This is where I would reach out to a biblical counselor and say, hey, biblical counselor, teach me to be a better listener of my wife. Great, we can do that. But he's not just going to get quiet and go to the garage. That's not good communication. Or resolving conflict as a skill. Most of the time, a passive husband would be a peacemaker, which means he brushes things under the rug. He doesn't want to rock the boat. So how can he grow in better resolving conflict with his wife? That's a skill. Maybe he needs to grow in the skill of disciplining the kids. He just wasn't aware of that. His dad didn't discipline his siblings and himself. Like, he just doesn't have a pattern for that. Parental skills, learning how to parent the kids and to be a proactive parental leader. Do you need to make a plan for parenting? Do you need to go meet with a biblical counselor and get their help in structuring your home a little bit? Just think of those as skills that the dad needs to cultivate or the husband needs to cultivate, not necessarily overt sins. So how can he grow in listening or resolving conflict or consistent disciplining of his kids? That's the next step, learning things. So number one, growing in communication. If you just want to say listening, that she's going to communicate, I need your help. The kids need your help. I need your help. We expect you to rise up. And then number two, learning skills like listening, conflict resolution, parenting, so forth. The next thing that I would encourage you to consider is that if a husband knows but refuses to do what his wife is legitimately asking, he is sinning against his wife. He's not nourishing and cherishing her, Ephesians 5:29. He's not treating her the way that Christ treats the church. Yeah, the husband most likely may be even keeled, but this is still a form of rebellion. Scripture speaks about the insubordinate in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And I've told husbands, I've said, look, you're moving from ignorant to rebellious if you don't change in these areas. Your wife has come to you and said, this really, really, really matters to me. And you dismiss it. That is awful on your relationship. That takes its toll on her. I would say that you are committing sins of omission. What does that mean? James 4:17. You're not doing what you know you should be doing. That's what a sin of omission is. Your wife has come to you and said, this is really important to me. And now the husband says, okay. And then he does not change anything about his life. That is bad listening. And that is a failure to love her the way that Christ loves the church. So when I taught this in North Carolina a couple of years ago, folks came up to me after and they said, you know what, Greg, what does that mean for the lady that is struggling with high expectations of her husband? Well, I do think that one of the next steps that I would take is to adjust expectations and identify what's a non-compromisable issue as opposed to what's something that I can adjust my expectations in. For instance, a wife is going to expect that her husband helps with the kids. A wife is going to expect that he is helping provide financially for the home. Those are right and good. Those are biblical. We can take our finger, put them on the text, but she doesn't need to expect that he is a morning bird and that he needs to wake up at 5:30 a.m., do devotions with her, exercise in the morning because that's what she loves. That's not necessarily a biblical expectation. That's over and above and beyond. But if he's not helping financially contribute to the home, that is a biblical expectation and she should not renegotiate that. So what does that mean practically? If she can readjust her expectations and maybe let go of things where she doesn't need to have a husband that is waking up at 5:30 to go to the gym with her, that's totally possible, but she needs to make sure that the things that are non-negotiable expectations, she also maintains. So that's my two cents, is that she must be willing to adjust those expectations that are compromisable. Okay, so first, you are doing your best to communicate. Babe, I need your help. Second, you're learning skills. Third, a husband is saying that if I'm not doing this, I'm committing sins of omission against my wife. She told me this was really important, and now I'm ignoring her or minimizing her, belittling her. A wife is asking, can she adjust her expectations? And if she can, then great, she's going to do that. And then lastly, and you guys feel free to write in if you have questions about this final step. If he refuses to change, you should treat this as any other unrepentant sin. So if he's refusing to step up in his leadership game, that means that one, she's either going to pursue spiritual leadership and facilitating change, Matthew 18, verse 15 to 17, or that she's going to show mercy and recognize that these issues, they merit forgiveness, but they're not totally, she's not going to create a kerfluffle over them. She's standing ready for forgiveness, recognizing these issues aren't resolved. And if he doesn't step up his game, this can take a long-term effect on their relationship. So when you see that passivity can destroy a relationship, I would say, hey, look, if this is very meaningful to you as a wife, then you should meet with a biblical counselor, meet with your pastor or your elders and try to help discern those next steps. Or is this something you can just show mercy in and recognize, well, we're not totally right in that one area, but we're going to be fine. And I'm not going to let this affect the unity of our relationship. If it is bothering you, though, then I would not encourage you to just brush it under the rug because long-term, that feeds bitterness and frustration, which is not helpful for you. So men, some of you are married to very strong women, and I think you praise the Lord for the giftedness of your wife. There may be a time where you have to say something like, hey, babe, thanks for giving me input on this, but I got this. I'll take care of it. If you're at the conveyor belt at TSA and your wife's telling you how to pick up the ticket, you could say something like, hey, babe, thank you for your input. I can pick up the ticket on my own. Thank you very much. What are we doing there? We are exercising godly leadership and we're trying to remind our wife that, hey, we got this and this is our responsibility to take care of. So I don't need help being told how to pick up my ticket. I don't need help being told how to drive. You know, I don't need help being told how to do things that are my responsibility to do. So if you are married to a stronger woman, find that gracious, loving way of saying, hey, babe, thank you, but I'll take care of this. All right, great. So men, make sure that you and I are being the men that God has called us to be. Remember back to our masculinity series, excuse me. Godly men take the initiative, and we want to be men that actually refresh our wives and not create temptations for bitterness for them. So we have to be done for today. If you have more questions on this particular topic, please email me, and I would love to dialogue with you. I usually have a lot of emails about this particular topic, so I would love to do that. Other than that, let me pray for you guys, and we'll be done for today. Lord, we want to be godly men who nourish and cherish our wives. Now, there are single men listening to this, and I pray that right now they would feel a compulsion to exercise initiative and to grow in being godly men who are single so that they would be godly men who are married. For those of us who are married men, we do need to ensure that we are following the pattern of Christ, that we are taking initiative in the areas you've called us to. Help us to know the wisdom of when to act and when to not act, but most of all, help us to nourish our wives so that they feel protected and refreshed and loved and cared for by us. May they never feel dismissed, undermined, or minimized because we just don't take them serious and we don't do the things that they ask. Lord, work this in us that we would take it very, very seriously for your glory and the good of our marriages, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.